everlasting. That means we're going to sing it a long time because we're going to be there a long time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If there was a big earthquake, serious earthquake, with many people hurt, thousands hurt, bridges down, which we know is at all possible, there'd be people that would be flooding to the churches, and they would be taking God serious. The problem is they're not taking God serious now. They'll take it after it happens, and that's dangerous. When I was a little boy, I remember my dog had a little Pomeranian, came up, and the Pomeranian, I don't have any children here that would understand this, began to hump me. And I didn't know what the dog was doing. I was just a little boy. When my grandpa came flying across the couch, across the living room, and slapped that dog, and I thought, what's he doing? And I realized he's taking this serious. And I really believe that there are some things that we should really take serious when it comes to God. And unfortunately, we take them serious after maybe it's too late. We should have taken it serious beforehand. If there's anything that ought to grab our attention, it's eternity. Eternity. And where will you spend eternity? I just preached a funeral yesterday for Brother Henry's wife's sister, Leona. Lived to be 88 years of age. Thank God she was ready. Thank God she knew the Lord. Had went over there 4 or 5 times and had communion the last 2 times. And I was persuaded and convinced that she knew Jesus. She was looking forward to going to heaven and being with her boys. The subject upon which I'm going to draw my scripture is just one scripture, and yet many could be used emphasizing the same truth. And that is eternity. It says in verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. There are many that believe that that word world should be translated eternity. I'll explain a little bit later why that is. We are the only creatures that God has put eternity in us. Whether you take that one as building a doctrine of eternity or not. The other day we were given some pans, pots and pans, probably 35 years ago by a family that was attending our church who was in Amway. Anybody remember them? And he bought us or gave us a wonderful present of these pans, the whole set of them. And here a few weeks ago, the handle came off of one of them, finally wore out. And my wife says these things have got a lifetime guarantee. And so I'm going to find me an Amway person and see if they'll honor that. How many know when you get a car, you get a warranty that's maybe 5 years? Or tires, they say they're good for so many miles, and we get warranties. But whoever heard of and then you hear of lifetime warranties. But who's ever offered eternity? Nobody's ever offered eternity except one, and that his name is Jesus. And Jesus said, if you turn to St. John chapter 3, there are many things about salvation that we should be excited about. But the older I get, one of them seems to be more appealing to me all the time, and that is eternity, that I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. But I want us to see what Jesus, because no one ever came offering eternity before in the history of the world. Other religions, even the people don't offer it. But Jesus came talking about something that was so unbelievable and profound. And in John 3:15, just before that famous verse of God so loved the world, it said that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus said to Nicodemus, should not perish. It's one thing not to perish, but it's another thing to have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, there it is the second time, everlasting life. And then if you take a look at the very last verse, verse 36, the third time, it is mentioned again by the Holy Spirit this time. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we read that God put an angel in front with a sword drawn, not to let them back in. And the reason, even God said, please look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. We know that God said not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, you will most surely die. And we know that when he did eat of it, death did occur. Not physically. It was going to take about 900 and some years because the body that God made was so wonderful. But spiritual death did occur. And now that Adam is aware of sin and aware of his nakedness, we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Now, why didn't God want Adam or Eve to eat of that tree of life and live forever? And the reason is now Adam is in a state of death. And if he would have gone and eaten of that tree of life, he would have been eternally dead forever. And because that tree would cause you to be that way the rest of your throughout the ages. And so God said, we're going to not allow that, and we're going to put an angel in front. It says in verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword. I'll bet when Adam and Eve walked by that, they thought, what in the world, and scared them good. And it was necessary to keep the way of the tree of life, because now Adam is in a state of death, which is separation from God. And if he was to eat of that tree of life, it would have doomed his seal, his death for eternity. I mentioned at the funeral a story of a king that was going through the land. He had his army with him. And as this king went through the land, he had his soldiers, and they were going through the forest, and they came across a tree with a bullseye on the tree and an arrow exactly in the middle of the bullseye. And the king noticed it and said, who shot this arrow? Whoever they were an excellent marksman. Is that what you call a good arrow person? I knew you do if they shoot a gun, but anyway, you get the point. It was right in the center of that bullseye. And they went a little bit further and found another tree with an arrow right in the center of another bullseye. And the king said, we must find this guy. I want him in my army. He is that good. So they continued and they found a third tree. another arrow stuck deeply within and right in the center perfectly, if there is such a thing, in the bullseye. And the king said, we must find this man, and I want him in my army, someone this good and this gifted. They went a little further, and they saw a man, a young man, with a bow and arrow. And the king said to him, are you the one that shot that arrow in these last three trees we've come across, right in the middle of the bullseye? And he said, yes. He said, I want to hire you and have you become head of my army. With such talent like yours, we can use you. Would you be obliged to do so? We will treat you well. We will put you in all these wonderful things that he offered them. And he said, okay. But he said, King, I must tell you something first. He said, what? He said, I did shoot that bow and arrow into that tree. But then after I shot it into the tree, that's when I drew the bullseye around the arrow. And we realize that, well, he's not such a great shot afterwards. And the point being that the Bible, when it defines sin, many have given the definition of sin, and I believe it is a good one, is that sin means you have missed the mark. And that is true. When we sin, we're missing the mark. And so Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, he didn't miss the mark. He lived and fulfilled all of the requirements of God's righteousness and died in our place, and yet sacrificed his life upon that tree, and he hit the mark, and with that he gives us eternal life. I didn't know this, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But the Hindus and the Buddhists and the secularists don't teach and don't offer eternal life in their religion. They don't teach that a person, when he dies, he has eternal life. They do teach that a person exists after death, but instead they hold that one loses his personal identity. And when eventually, because he now loses his identity, he merges with the universal all. Some call that God, and I say God with a little G. In fact, when I was putting down my notes, I had it capitalized. I said, that don't deserve to be capitalized. That's a small G. That's not God. And but they don't offer. And so here comes Jesus offering eternal life. Now, I had a friend who has gone to be with the Lord. His name was Linfield Crowder. There is a website, because a large, huge church up in Canada or Alaska, they have dedicated a section, a huge part of their building, which is a library, and it has been dedicated to Linfield Crowder. He donated, when he died, he had over 10,000 books that he gave to that library, and he often preached in that place. But Reverend Linfield Crowder, his best friend was Jim Davis, who was here, and Jim Davis is the one that preached Puji Tuhan, praise the Lord. And but it was Linfield Crowder. He was known for a quotation, a combination of words in the pulpit, and he would say it with passion. And often this evangelist would say, eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity, and what will you do with Jesus? I have a book that I have here, and it's entitled Eternity in the Heart. It's by a Methodist preacher, and in fact, the word Methodist, the reason the Wesleys, it's called Methodist, is they were one of the first that believed that sermons, or they should teach their people and have a method to it. And that's where they get Methodist. And it was a method of expository preaching, etc. But in this book, Eternity in the Heart, it was given to me by Raymond Harms. And it was given to me back in 1982. 33 years ago was this book given to me, and I looked, and on the leaflet it says, to my warm and good-looking, tall, handsome friend. No, he says, to my warm and appreciated friend and brother in Christ, Dennis Connor, this is an oldie but a goodie. And October 1982. I know that they've taken one of these sermons, and it's on the internet, but this one, Eternity in the Heart, they have not yet put it on there yet, but I believe it's probably one of the best sermons within the book. And but the reason that this sermon so touched me, and it so woke me up in my ministry to eternity, though I'd heard many illustrations to illustrate eternity about things you probably have heard about a bird. If you were to take a bird and put a grain of sand in its mouth, let it fly to the moon, drop it off, and fly all the way back, grab another grain, and take it all the way to the moon, until they've deposited the whole world. Man, that'd take a long time. Billions, trillions of years, but it said eternity has only begun, and we've heard other such illustrations. But this sermon that this fellow preached, it so moved me. I remember when Brother Jim Davis, Linfield Crowder, we met one time, and I said, I must share with you this sermon. And I read it to him, and during the sermon, we were weeping and shouting because this guy had such a grasp of the language and had such wonderful thoughts. But it is all about eternity. And when I was younger and a brand new Christian, eternity, there were a lot of things with that I was excited about as a Christian. I was excited about the joy. I was excited about the peace. But eternity, although it was there and I was excited, it didn't have the value to it. It didn't have the weight that captured my heart. Because when you're young, you don't think about dying. You think you're going to live and live, and yeah, that's true, and that's wonderful, but it didn't really impact me. But now, 40-some years have passed by, and I know I'm over halfway, and eternity is looking better all the time. And I've had many that I've had loved ones, preachers and family and loved ones die, and they're on the other side, and eternity is looking more wonderful all the time. And I occasionally catch myself thinking of family that have died. And when I was younger, when the family would gather, and the relatives on my father's side, many of them were believers and Christians. And some of my greatest memories were with those families and them playing some marble game. I forget the marble game, but I could hear them in aggravation, playing aggravation, and they would laugh and carry on. And my Aunt Audrey, and those are some of the greatest warm memories I have. But my Aunt Audrey, who was a wonderful Sunday school teacher, and I remember attending her class when we'd go on vacation, when she taught the youth, and I remember her having an impact upon me. And when I became a Christian and began into the ministry, they were so excited, and they would let me know continually, we're praying for you. And my uncle, Edgar, on my dad's side, and he was a Christian. And my wife remembers these, but I've watched them die over the years. And each time it's like taking a piece of my heart and deposited on the other side into eternity. And little by little, I've watched these loved ones go, and I've watched my minister friends go, Brother Armstrong, and I've watched them die, and each time it pulls a little bit, and each time eternity looks a little bit more important to me. And so Jesus, when he talked about eternity, because it's you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Boy, he did pull around. He was very serious with him. He was more than my uncle jumping across the living room slapping a dog. When he got on this subject, you knew it was serious. When he said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. He said, if thy hand offend, you cut it off. If thy foot, he said, you cut it off. Anything that might cause and you to miss out on eternity. It was serious stuff. And may the church never lose its seriousness about eternity. And as I heard And I was reading statistics the other day, and I don't have them exactly, but like 2,000 Americans die a day. And from the Bible, then that means that probably, because the scripture says, wide is the gate and many are that leads to destruction, you can rest assured that most of those 2,000, probably from a biblical standpoint, were not right with God and went into eternity without God. That means every month that there was probably times 30, about 60,000. And out of that 60,000, there's probably at least 40,000 that went out into eternity without God. And when you multiply that times 12, and now you're up to 300,000, and probably at least 200,000 of them went out into eternity without God. That bothers me. That grieves me. If you really believe what Jesus said, it's nothing to be. And may it put a seriousness in us. I know He gives us joy. I know He gives us peace. I know He gives us a love and all of these things. But we're dealing with eternity. I don't think anybody will ever get to heaven and God say, you overdid it. I don't think we're ever going to get there and God's going to say, you know, you prayed too much. You witnessed too much. You gave too much. You sacrificed too much. You forgave too much. You shouldn't have forgiven that one. I'd have held on to it a little longer. I don't think you're going to hear that. Eternity is a long time. And when I used to pray for my father, who, when I read my Bible, if I'm going to be honest and consistent with my logic, it doesn't look good. I'm overwhelmed with him not being right with God. And thank God he came to the Lord. Eternity. People that died in Jesus' day are still in hell. Eternity. People that died and were right with God are still in heaven. Eternity is a message in the Bible that no other book has. When Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he interprets it, or the scriptures does, meaning I'm not the God of the dead. That means when he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Abraham's alive. I'm the God of Isaac, Isaac is alive. And I'm the God of Jacob, Jacob is alive. And that's why he says, I'm not the God of the dead. Because our God gives us eternity. Eternity. And may everything we do keep eternity in view. And think about it in all my decisions. I'm not dealing with something temporal. I'm dealing with something eternal. And that's sometimes more than I can wrap my mind around. But eternity, eternity, eternity on the one side rejoices my heart. I said yesterday that Leona lived in this house 60 years, and how many memories they had. Do you ever catch yourself living in yesterday and remembering the good times and the wonderful times, and you're going at life looking in the rearview mirror, and then the reality hits you, they're gone. I can't go back. I sometimes think when I'm in Ventura, after I go to Johnny's and get a good beef burrito, I'll go by my house where I grew up. And it's not the same. The neighbors are not there. The laughter and my parents are not there. My dog Sam's not there. Gary across the street's not. I can't bring it back. And all of us here, we're aware we have those memories. But the wonderful thing about Christ, we live forever. And we have an eternity. And we get, it's almost too good to be true when you think about it. In eternity. And why this message may not mean a lot to you today, but one day when a loved one of yours dies and you stand over the grave and you weep, may I remind you, you have a wonderful hope. If they were a Christian, and we pray they were, you'll be with them in glory for eternity. Never again will these memories be taken, and time will be no more, and time is our enemy now. But it won't be. When all enemies are going to be destroyed, and said the last enemy is death, that's time. Because we're marching and marching and marching, but one of these days, we'll be with Him forever, with our loved ones. The ones that this message may not really grip you now, but when you're standing over that loved one and you have to say goodbye at the funeral home yesterday, Brother Henry, I saw a young 10-year-old girl sitting on the front row having to say goodbye to Grandma and watching her weep. It pulled my heartstrings as I saw her weep, and I wanted to say to her, you know, you can meet her. You don't have to say goodbye. You can meet her and live forever. Thank God we have eternity. Let's stand. Father, we thank you. Out of all of the wonderful things you give us with salvation, the greatest one in my view as I slowly am getting older is eternity. And we will sing that everlasting song. May we keep that in mind in all of our decisions and all of the things that we go through. May we take this a little bit more serious than perhaps we should. And we thank you for it. Bless your people. By your precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Go home and watch the game.